Hi, I'm Malcolm Nichols.
And I'm Richard Ayling.
And this is Man Reimagined, a podcast where we, as men, attempt to reimagine ourselves in the 21st century.
How can we respond to the big questions that we're facing, both within ourselves and within society, and make sense of this ever-changing world?
We don't have all the answers, but we do want to create a conversation. So join us moving forward as a man reimagined. Alrighty, so welcome, Rich, to another episode of Man Reimagined. This week, we thought we'd pull on a topic that is something of a hot button topic out there at the moment, and that is toxic masculinity. So, recently in a podcast, you and I dived into masculinity and talked quite a bit about what we thought masculinity was and the evolution of it. And a number of times the term toxic masculinity came up as you and I were discussing masculinity. So tonight I thought in this episode that it'll be a great opportunity for us to really, you know, get a handle on what is toxic masculinity and, you know, what does it mean for us? What do we think people mean when they talk about it? You know, how's it been interpreted out there? So, Rich, do you want to get the ball rolling? You know, when you hear the word toxic masculinity, what does that mean for you?
Thank you, man. To begin, I think it's really worth highlighting something that you and I both already think, but it's worth actually stating so that it's really clear for everyone else. It's, of course, really healthy to listen to what women have to say on this topic, right? And I know both of us want to do that, but this is really about us just kind of acting as normal everyday men, reacting to something that is out there because there's not so much clarity around it. So from that place, when I think of it personally, I really have a problem with the word, and I've posted on how I think using the word toxic in front of anything these days has just become this lazy coverall for something that's actually just sort of negative and not healthy. And it often means that we're not really clear on what that thing is. And I would always ask people to explain what they mean by it, because it's just become this sort of very sort of popular term, you know, to describe positivity. You can get toxic positivity now. What a mouthful. And it's like, sorry, what is that? So I'm wary of word fatigue, and as I think lots of just people on media and social media look to coin terms in order to try and make sense of the world. That's my understanding of it. But my initial feeling of like toxic masculinity is there's no such thing. Toxic male behavior is a huge problem, but masculinity in of itself is and not a negative thing. It's not something that can become toxic. And I thought, well, that's my initial response, but you know, what is the definition of toxic masculinity? Like, so my initial reaction personally is quite kind of, ugh, you know, and then to reject that, but hang on, what is the kind of academic definition of it? And I figured it would be a good idea to look it up, you know, and say, well, hang on, let's just start from the same page. You know, if I take the time to look it up and go, well, what could this mean? And this is, I'll paraphrase, but this harmful concept of masculinity also places significant importance on manliness based on, and I'm reading from the Medical News Today, it was a great article, based on strength, lack of emotion, self-sufficiency, dominance, and sexual virility. And then it goes on to talk about overemphasis of these traits may lead to harmful imbalances, which could look like aggression, sexual aggression or control, showing no emotion, suppressing emotions, hyper-competitiveness, and then needing to dominate or control others, the glorification of violence, low empathy, entitlement, chauvinism. And when I read that, I'm all in. And I see that whatever we want to call it, you know, whether we accept the label toxic masculinity or not, like those highlights are a huge problem and really quite unique to men, I would say. So I'm sort of humbled when I read this and I just think, wow, this really is a big problem. And although my reaction to it is initially, this can't be just men. Actually, a lot of these traits seem to be really unique towards men. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, look, the thing that you said that I wholeheartedly agree with is the distinction between this idea of toxic masculinity and toxic male behavior. And, you know, some people might say it's nitpicking, but to me, I actually think that it's two completely different things, and and the distinction is actually really, really important. You know, it's like this whole thing, men behaving badly, right? Versus masculinity, which as we talked about in our previous podcast around masculinity, is actually it's just a series of ways of being in the world that both men and women can embody, right? It's the yang to the yin, and so I'm like you. I've had a real aversion right from the get-go to the term toxic masculinity. It's just, it never works. It just doesn't work for me as a term. Toxic male behavior, on the other hand, yeah, I get it. I do. It does exist out there, and it is there. But I think the other bit that you said when you were reading out that definition, the piece that you said about taken to excess, and I think, you know, that's a good piece to acknowledge too, is that there is this kind of sliding scale of behavior, right? And it does feel to me that you know, what we're talking when we're talking about this toxicity of male behavior is the taken to excess, like when it does sit in the extreme, and then there are these kind of layers coming all the way down, and it's at what point is there a point at which we demarcate and say, you know, that's toxic versus, you know, that's just something that, you know, it's just a skill that we need to learn as men. You know, this thing of around, you know, not showing emotion, you know, that's a skill, right? That for a lot of men, it's just that we actually need to learn. It's not that we don't want to do it, or that that there's a deadly no-no around it, but it's just a lack of ability, really. And so to actually label, you know, to have this thing of this word toxic there, and to imply that by men not, you know, kind of opening up and you know revealing an emotional side to themselves, that's poor behavior. I think that does a lot of damage as well. So for me, when we talk about toxic, we need to be really clear in this, in just the paradigm that we're talking in. And I think what you just did was quite good to really give that clarity about that it is when it's taken to excess. You know, because there's this interesting ad that I saw in New Zealand, which I think it might have been an online ad that I saw, and it was looking at men and boys, basically. It came up. It might have been a Gillette ad for shavers or something. I know face shavers in New Zealand is a company called Gillette. I think they're worldwide. Anyway,
I think we're okay with that one. Yeah.
You
had a Nike? No.
Yeah. Exactly. And I don't know if these ads were worldwide, but they had these different scenes of boys and men, you know, guys sitting around a barbecue and kind of holding beers in their hand. And there was one point where these boys started chasing after each other. They started fighting, and, you know, all the men looked on and they were like, "Hey, yeah, good man. They're learning how to be tough," you know. And then it did that, replayed that scene with the guys kind of running in and jumping in and breaking them up, and it kind of trying to make this differentiation between, you know, how are we breeding our boys. And you know, I thought that was really good, but as an idea and as a concept, but they're labeling this stuff is toxic, you know, the boys going in and fighting. And I'm like, you know, that for me is, I just think that I don't like that labeling, because, you know, that is also stuff that does happen, you know, and it's, you know, we're so, it's such a big part of the generations of culture that, you know, to kind of give it such a negative term in terms of, as a way of dealing with it, is not helpful for me in that, in many, many regards. Your thoughts, Richard?
Wow. Yeah. Something that comes to mind that I thought I'd throw in there, so that we can start to look back at kind of lost wisdom. There's a book called Sand Talk. I forget the author's name, apologies, but he writes about indigenous cultures in Australia and how the wisdom that they've sort of kept to themselves, you know, is really relevant. And there's something that stands out to me here in that, you know, when two men want to come together and have some kind of conflict, there's something to sort out. They've got these sticks and they have it out, right? It's almost like a ritual. But the crucial difference is that, you know, it's a ritual and it's kind of supported. And at the end, whoever kind of loses out, you know, they then get to basically sort of hit or inflict the same amount of cuts back on the person that won, in inverted commas. And the other person has to just stand there and take it at the end. Meaning at the end, there's this sense of balance and there's this sense of, you know, equality, and there's no resentment. And it's like, look, there's no winner here. And like, so that makes this idea of challenge, which maybe is a masculine trait. There's a whole debate we could have there, but like the healthy aspect of challenge, like it exists, you know, and we resolve things in healthy ways. Like, I do have a resistance and a problem to, you know, this boys will be boys thing, and that it's okay for us all to sort of fight. Personally, that we're sort of almost diverging from the topic, but it does feel like that's a form of unhealthy behavior unless it's sort of dealt with in the way that I just explained. Like this idea that they can sort of have a rough and tumble together. Like, is that perhaps my own kind of resistance to, you know, or lack of experience in that area, do you think? Because I have an issue with part of what you're saying, actually, is like that is a normal thing. Like what is toxic masculinity in that context?
Yeah. So I think the point that what you've just said that jumps out at me is the way that they're able to resolve and bring, it's kind of like take everything full circle, you know, how at the end there's this, the symbolism of inflicting the same amount of cuts. It's like, as you said, it's like creating the equality, but the resolution to whatever was taking place. And I think this is for me, that's what strikes at the heart of all this. It's like how we deal, you know, situations evolve, and it's how we deal with it. Like, so one of the things about a guy just jumping in and getting in the way of two kids, for example, who are fighting, for example, is how it's then dealt with. It can either be, you know, telling those two boys off and shaming them, or actually going into a resolution, right? So I think what the word that goes with toxic is shame. It's like by saying something is toxic, it's making it shameful, right? And so but so much of what is, and this is my point, so much of what we're labeling right now as toxic is often just simply, you know, poorly learned behaviors that we've had as men for so many years. But by labeling them toxic, we're now feeling shame for all of that stuff rather than having a sense of, well, actually, you know, I have just learned this. What do I need to do to turn this around? It's almost like a lot of the stuff that we're calling toxic, some of it's not actually our fault in that we've learned it, but it's our responsibility to deprogram it. And that's where I think that toxic is not helping, because it's not helping that deprogramming process at times.
Agreed. It feels very accusatory. And like I gave a talk on men, how men don't talk and this crisis of masculinity and just what we're sort of suffering from and how some of it we need to take responsibility for, some of it's learnt behavior, some of it's societal, but you know, we want to change, right? But we need to figure out how to do this. And at the end of it, a woman asked me, she's like, look, thank you. Right. I'm getting now what it's like for men a bit more. And I was just like, oh, wow. I'm just kind of feeling naughty or shameful, just even kind of taking up this space, actually. But it felt like it needed to be done. And she was like, no, thank you. And then she also said, do you not feel like you're just being attacked all the time as a man right now? And I was like, wow. And I wouldn't say yes all the time, but there's definitely a sense of with toxic masculinity and men definitely being highlighted and called out quite a lot. And in many cases, rightfully so. I do feel like I'm on the back foot. And so this sense of shame does come up, you know, that I would even dare to sort of take up the time to say, hey, men need an International Men's Day that is worth something too. And I don't want to get associated for a moment with these kind of alt-right people that claim there's no such thing as toxic male behavior or there's no problem. I don't want to, I'm a million miles away from there, but I do feel like I'm on the back foot and how do I deal with that? And shame does come up quite a lot. And so it's worth highlighting that, I think that phrases like this and how they're used in the media and social media they're not encouraging men in any way to stand up, to take responsibility, to figure out a way to do this. You know, men have shut down and the response to Me Too has been very, very quiet. We're petrified, I think, at least I am, of saying anything wrong. And the irony was, like, a lot of women came to that talk, were interested and said, thank you. And it's like, hang on. I'm starting to get the feeling like that what I see online in the media and this kind of toxic environment isn't quite the reality of the humans that, you know, are around and actually they don't want to act in this kind of way. They're not quite as, they don't like this term either. And they also want us all to kind of evolve together. So I think that I'm afraid of being perceived as like a male apologist for wanting to just suggest that we just drop that this kind of language and we find other ways to do it, because deep down I think that if we are able to not feel quite as much shame and there's enough of it already, maybe we can move forward a little bit.
Yeah, totally. I was just thinking now, you know, when you're talking about the conversations with those women, you know, it's like this dance, isn't it? I think, you know, there's this dire need to recognize that, yes, as men, you know, there's a lot of shit that we need to work out. And as men, there's a lot of, there's a lot of good that sits within us. And it's like this dance of bringing this light out, right? I think, you know, I've had numerous conversations with women and around all this, and it's like they, you know, I can really feel the support there to me and to men, to, you know, for who we are, without even necessarily even need to change too much. It's like that, you know, I can see that they feel the gold in me and in us, and that it's actually, you know, I can actually see the recognition that a lot of us are genuinely trying to be as good as we possibly can, right? And in many ways kind of shift away from this identity that has been pushed on us by this term toxic masculinity. I think one of the, you know, so as we were talking about this, the thought that, or the questions that come to my mind, it's not so much actually about kind of picking into this going over and over and over this term of toxic and the toxic masculinity or toxic male behavior, in so much as, you know, if what do we do about it? Like, what are the steps that do we take in order to begin to, you know, recognize and deal with these charges that have been put against us? What are your thoughts, Richie?
Well, I mean, I wanted to jump in and kind of you've given me the perfect segue to do so and like acknowledge what the charges are, you know, like and which ones actually are not okay, you know, are absolutely not okay. And you and I can have an attempt at listing a couple of these sort of toxic male behavior rule traits out there right now. But it would be much better to have a discussion or just to listen, you know, to some women come along and say, look, these are the ways in which we feel like men show up, you know, super inappropriately, where we feel uncomfortable. And of course other men as well, like, but just, it would be helpful to get a clear sense of what these charges are so that we can start to own them, understand how that we might behave like this, even if we don't necessarily want to, it might just be conditioned in some way, but to become aware of them means we can then just start to stop doing them and find out like, well, hang on, how could I behave instead if it's not just a case of not doing something? That would be a great place to start. Yeah. So are you up for just like labeling a couple of things?
Yeah, I would.
Let's invite a woman on in the future or women along in the future.
Absolutely. I mean,
this isn't just you and me the whole time, right? Like, let's just make sense of it together, but then open this up because, you know, how can we make this sense of this? This needs to be a collective thing.
Yeah, totally. And, you know, as you were talking then, something that came to mind was, we've talked about it a couple of years ago. I did a Me Too podcast with a group of men and then a group of women. And one of the things that, you know, when I was talking to the women about men and what their experience of men is, you know, one of the most profound things that I remember from that, and this is part of this conversation you and I are about to have, was they all of them talked about what it was like to be with men in relation to the home and taking care of the home and the way that men, and I think it was all six of them said this, that men, one of the annoying characteristics that we have is that we leave the decision making of all stuff home related to women, i.e. one of the classic examples they were said was, you know, there'd be washing in the laundry basket, and rather than just going and doing the washing, we would ask our partners, hey honey, would you like me to do the washing, as if we're doing them a favor by going in and doing the washing, you know. And it's like there's this constant stream of, you know, not taking responsibility for what we're doing. And what the reason I bring that up is one of the, you know, from what I gathered, you know, that in many ways is a classic example of, you know, poor male behavior, you know, poor male behavior in relationships. And I think, you know, as we're doing this discussion, it's going to be quite interesting to see what we come up with and what women come up with, because that without a doubt surprised all six of the men that I had in the group, right? That was actually there. And of course, the moment that happened, it completely opened my eyes and shifted everything. So, you know, this idea of toxic or poor male behavior is bigger actually than I was aware of in many ways, and not as obvious and not as clean cut either.
Yeah, for me, that speaks to, you know, sort of assumed roles and what women have rightly labeled the mental load, you know? So what you just described is exactly
right,
that.
Yeah.
We don't even think about it. And like, that's, you know, amazing. I wonder if as the conversation deepens, there's also a mental load that men have to bear in some way, like, you know, not to balance things out for the sake of it, but I wonder, you know, if there is one. But let's just start with how we're not showing up. And that's like a label of, sorry, that's a for me, that's a kind of poor male behavior, but I don't want to avoid some of the harder charges that you could just easily label out right now. It's like, you know, if our understanding or attempt to explain toxic masculinity or toxic male behavior is not doing the laundry, I think we're super naive.
So, yeah, that's true.
You know, the obvious things like overbearing, kind of, you know, just violations of a woman's space and privacy, and you know, the crimes that go with that. We don't need to kind of label that. That's not toxic male behavior. That's just illegal, and you know, should be rightfully punished. And that's just like the behavior of a sociopath, and that's not okay, right? So clear. But like, what do you think are some stronger examples of toxic masculinity or toxic male behavior? And we can think of in the home, we can think of in the workplace. I mean, I was talking to a woman the other night, and she just, again, it's coming off topic, but she highlighted for me how she has to think about which route she takes home. You know, she figures out, okay, I'm about to get off the train station, I need to get to my house. That, do I go into the bridge tonight or do I go this way? I'm like, Jesus Christ. I had no idea. I've never had to think about how I would get home, which is the safest way, you know? So to get inside a woman's mind and to bring someone to this podcast, that would be an education for the men listening, not least for you and me. But what kind of, you know, what can a man do in that situation? What is unhealthy behavior? You know, should we be listing this stuff here?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, because one thing that jumps straight off into my mind is just the size differential, right? The physicality of the male body versus the female body, and how I know, you know, I spent my life, particularly the last 15 years, working with people around posture and movement and our bodies, and it is without a doubt that when a human being stands and carries himself completely different when they're around somebody who's bigger than them and somebody who's smaller than them. Now that's also the same case if it's two men standing, and you know, if I'm not a particularly tall man, and most of my friends are taller than me, and there's a completely different physicality than when I'm around these taller guys. But the reality of that with between men and women is that, you know, there's a huge physical difference there that gets constantly put out, and again, you know, those are levels from quite subtle to, you know, not really knowing that the puffed out chest is actually having an impact on people, to taken to quite severe extremes. So that, you know, that's a really big one for me around that physicality, the physical difference.
Yeah, and it just reminds me of that kind of a helpful thought experiment for men. You know, there's that kind of like you're chasing after this woman in a bar, not literally, hopefully, you know, but you kind of, you know, you're giving her your attention and whatnot. And maybe just in the street, you're trying to say like to her in a cafe and she doesn't want your attention. And then you would be like, well, you know, how would you like it if she was giving you her attention? It's like, no, that's not helpful. Bringing in the physicality that you mentioned, how would you like it if there was a man whose attentions you definitely didn't want, that was bigger than you, giving you exactly. His attention? You know, and it's like, oh, yeah, I wouldn't feel so safe right there. You know, like these are the kind of thought experiments or just changes of perception that we think we need to start bringing in. But I'm conscious of the time, and I'm also conscious of how, this is my judgment, we've kind of failed to really get clear on some of the elements of toxic masculinity that women genuinely feel exist. And how, you know, I guess how, you know, how could we, being men, like maybe there is a blind spot there. How is it that we've decided to sort of three times now say, okay, let's go through some examples and then made some, I think, interesting points, but failed actually to say, okay, this is what this looks like, and these are the behaviors that actually we need to start looking at. You know, there's a huge blind spot there. So what do you think about that? It almost feels like we really need to get some women onto this podcast to actually help us understand this, right?
Yeah, well, I think I think what you've said is you've kind of proved the point, which is exactly that. You know, we are to a degree flying blind. I'm flying blind when trying to understand this. Dictionary meanings are all well and good, but you know, what is it, you really, what is it that that women are experiencing with guys. And I think I need to know that more now than probably ever, really. And so, yeah, bang on, Rich, you've proved the point. We're throwing shit in the wind right now, and it's coming back and hitting us in the face most of the time, right? So I think the best way to deal with this question is to actually to speak to women, really, and get a sense of what it is for them, and help us out that way.
Yeah, and perhaps in the meantime, if anyone out there is listening, you know, take that responsibility upon yourself. It's not an easy conversation to have, but that means it's the one to be had. You know, it's not like walking into the middle of the office, standing on a table, and go, "Tell me, what is toxic masculinity?" You're just going to get a weird silence. But you know, definitely, just with some women where you, you feel an affinity too, and or even the ones that scrap that, I'm talking nonsense. Just ask. You know, like, just ask, take responsibility for how uncomfortable it is, and just be like, "Can help me understand what that looks like to you? You know, how can I show up differently?" But also just have a handle on what lands for you and what doesn't, right? There's definitely an element of everybody is trying to figure out what this means. That doesn't mean that every woman out there is an authority and has their own thoughts super clear on what this is either, right? It's like, I don't want to place that weight of expectation on every woman out there to suddenly know the answer and be able to, and even be willing to kind of educate every man on this subject, right? So, you know, I'll be really clear on that, but definitely for us to start the conversation where it feels appropriate. And just popping the question up and going, okay, like, what does that look like? What are your feelings on that? Not assuming anything. That might be a really good place to start, just for every man to take a bit of responsibility and find out what that means. What do you reckon?
Yeah, I completely agree, because there might also be some surprising answers in there too, you know, and by that I mean, you know, quite good, positive stuff that comes out of just asking that question. And I, to be honest, I also wouldn't be surprised if a lot of women kind of shrug their shoulders and go, "Well, I don't know what everybody else is talking about, but you know, this is what it means for me." And I think that's the important thing, because it does feel like this term just kind of popped into the vernacular kind of almost out of nowhere for me anyway. And it feels like there's just a lot of floundering around as a consequence of it. So yeah, I think what you're suggesting, Rich, is bang on. And then hopefully you and I will invite not just a woman singular, but many on to have a discussion about this topic, because you know, it's a game changer in my opinion. This could, if we can begin to sort this out, it helps not just men, but society, women, everybody, kids, all of us, you know, to shift and move forward.
Sweet. I have a sense we can leave it there. Time wise, nice, it feels good. There's a clear intention from how we can all step out of this podcast and for what's coming up too. So thank you for your thoughts on that, Mal. We've it's okay not to know sometimes. That's kind of my takeaway from today.
Bang on. Yeah. I think if there's anything we'll prove on this podcast is that we don't know much at all, mate.
Third and last podcast, who knows? But it's exactly. Cool. All right, have a great day, everyone. All the best, and you know how to reach out if you want to. Take care. Yeah.
You too, Rich. Take care, mate. Speak soon. From this week's podcast, if there's been anything that's inspired you, challenged you, or simply left you wanting more, then please reach out to Richie and Mal via their Facebook page, Man Reimagined. Just like you, we're trying to get a handle on all these issues and topics, so the more we're able to share and talk about them, I think the better off we're all going to be. Until next time, catch you later.